Interesting. Welcome back. I think this is our sixth Rav Kook learning session, Chabura, whatever it is. Thank you all for coming again. So up until now, we've been dealing with, like, I would say more general content from Rav Kook about how to view the world, how to view spirituality, Torah, mythos, things like that. Now, I figured Pesach was a nice break, and now we're in the month of Zionism. So I wanted to do something specifically on Yom HaTzmaut, but I figured we should use this as an opportunity to take a couple steps back to talk about Zionism as the connection, so to speak, between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So first we'll do, I think, two sessions on Am Yisrael, a session on two in Eretz Yisrael, and then we'll see how the two things come together to create, in this worldview, a very, very, very powerful connection. And maybe if there's interest, we'll see how it gets trickled down from Rav Kook, who, for him, all this was a little bit theoretical, to Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, to Rav Kook's son, after the state is founded, what happens then, and tracing it to contemporary figures in terms of what they do with these ideas in the modern state of Israel. Also, another introduction is that up until now, we've been dealing with topics that I think are Shavah L'chol Nefesh. I think whether or not you are a right-wing fanatic, you are a left-wing progressive liberal, you have something that I think the topics we've been dealing with are things that people are attracted to in the thought of Rav Kook. He's dealing with very classical sources. He's understanding them in a certain way. And he's giving us a system, a version of Yadus that I think is very, very attractive to many people across the spectrum in our generation. Now we're going to be dealing with Am Yisrael. We're going to see this is where things sort of part ways. There are people that are extremely into these things. There are people that live these ideas. And there are some people that really find them a little bit, I guess, off kilter, a little bit too much, a little bit too radical in terms of their perspective about what a Jew is and what the Jewish people are. So that would be the introduction. So I wanted to split this year into two parts. Again, feel free to chime in as we go along. The first one is just a general introduction to the concept of Yisrael in the thought of Rav Kook, and then go more into the individual Jew. And the next week, we're going to discuss more Am Yisrael as a whole. So by means of introduction, there is a statement by Rav Sadia Gaon, which is very often quoted, about the relationship between Torah and the Jewish people. Right? There's Torah, there's the Jewish people. Rav Sadia Gaon has a line in Emunas Vadeos, and is in the first book of Jewish philosophy, that Ein Umasenu Uma Ela B'Toraso. That what makes the Jewish people unique, what makes us the Am HaNivchar, what makes us Hashem's chosen people, is that we receive the Torah. Meaning, there are different ways of understanding what Rav Sadia Gaon is doing over there, but what it sounds like, at least, is that Am Yisrael is like every other nation, in terms of Tzelem Elokim, in terms of genetics, in terms of spiritual capability, in terms of everything. Am Yisrael is very similar to other nations. What changed Am Yisrael? What made them the Am HaNivchar? What created their special status? The fact that for whatever reason, God fell in love with the Avos, and God gave the Avos' descendants the Torah. And it's the Torah that, over the course of generations, transformed Am Yisrael to be the ideal nation, to be the nation that lives up to Hashem's vision. If Menachem Kellner is a professor of Jewish philosophy in Haifa, I think, he thinks this is the perspective of the Rambam. The way he puts it is that there's no difference in the hardware between a Jew and a non-Jew, between Am Yisrael and other nations. The difference is in the software. The people are the same people. The software, the Torah, is what impacts the Jewish people and creates the ideal lifestyle. As I'm sure many people are familiar, the whole Kabbalistic school sort of argued on that. And if we're going to see for Rav Kook, that Rav Kook falls very, very squarely in the more Kabbalistic school. So by means of introduction, I have a source here from Rav Yeshua Shapira. He is the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshivat Hesder Ramat Gan, a student of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, and somebody I think that falls within the general Rav Kook world. He has a nice article entitled Yisrael Kadmu LaTorah. And the whole article is about the relationship between Torah and Am Yisrael in the thought of Rav Kook. He starts off as follows. In order to understand the relationship between these two worlds, Yisrael and Torah, let's deal with two statements of Chazal. Rabbeinu Rav Tzvi Yehuda Zatzal, Rav Tzvi Yehuda as Rav Kook's son, who shadala medivri avoseinu shnei mamarei Chazal, hoskim b'yachas shebein Torah l'Yisrael. Rav Tzvi Yehuda sort of found and often quoted these two midrashim, And what is the main message of these midrashim that Rav Tzvi Yehuda would quote over and over again? That Am Yisrael, from a certain perspective, precedes the Torah. Mamarim elu nidchaku l'shulayim v'chumat shelo tzitatu etzel gadol Yisrael. This is an amazing, amazing admission that these are midrashim. These are statements from Chazal. They date back, 1500s, 1700s, 1800 years. But they weren't often quoted by Gedolei Yisrael. They were pushed to the pushed to the bottom. They weren't they were sublimated. They weren't really there at the top of the top ten midrashim that people quote. Ulam gedulasol shel Rav Tzvi Yehuda Aisa, but the greatness of Rav Tzvi Yehuda was shuhafkam the ikar ulatashtit torasol v'yisol nukol talech ha-geula. These midrashim become part of the foundation of the process of geula. And based on these midrashim, he came up with a hadracha for the entire generation. So these midrashim, according to Rabbi Yeshua Shapiro's understanding of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, who quoted these midrashim a lot, these are midrashim that were sort of geared or originally written for these generations during the process of Geula. What are these midrashim? Look at source number two. The Tana de Eliyahu, Rabba. Tana de Eliyahu is a fascinating medrash, comes from Eretz Yisrael. It is a medrash where Eliyahu and Navi wanders around the world and meets different people and has nice conversations with these random people. So Eliyahu and Navi meets a traveler. And the traveler realizes the person he's talking to is somebody special. So he says, Amarli. So this is Eliyahu and Navi speaking first person. Amarli, this traveler said to me, said to Eliyahu and Navi, Rebbe, my teacher, Eliyahu and Navi, Shnei Dvarim Yishli Bavavi, I have two things in my heart. And he loved them with a great love. Torah of Yisrael. This is what the question the random traveler asked Eliyahu HaNavi. You know, you meet somebody in the airport, you realize they're Eliyahu HaNavi, you're like, I love the Torah, I love the Jewish people, but I don't know which one comes first. Which one has precedence? And clearly it's not just a chronological question, which one was created first. Amartilo, Eliyahu HaNavi says, I told this person, Darkan Shabnei Adam Shomrim, it is the way the person in the street says, Torah Kedum Lekol. The Torah precedes everything. Shenemar Hashem Kanani Vishis Darko. Hashem the Torah, that Chachma in Mishle, that the Chachma, the personified Chachma, says that Hashem created me first. Avahoyisi Omer, but that's what the average person says. But Eliyahu HaNavi says, but I say, Yisrael Kedoshim Kodmim. The holy Jewish people have precedence. Shenemar Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Vishis Tifuasel. And then Eliyahu HaNavi explains with the Mashal, you have a king who's going traveling, and he's leaving his family behind. The king, on his journey, stops, writes a letter of instructions back to his family, but how they're supposed to act in his absence. So Eliyahu HaNavi asks his fellow traveler, what caused the king to write the letter? It's only the existence of the family and the knowledge that the family is able to live up to the instructions. That's what caused the king to write the letter. Similarly, Hashem is the king, we are Hashem's family, and the letter is the Torah. Hashem only wrote the Torah because there was a Jewish people that was fitting, that was roi, that was created with a special unique status, unique capabilities to be able to follow Hashem's instructions, to follow the Torah. A second medrash is very similar. It calls Rabba Amar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Ksiv Kimei Ha'etz Yimei Ami. Yeshayahu HaNavi says that the days of my people are like the days of a tree. What does that mean? In Pshat, it means that Am Yisrael is going to live a long time, have a lot of longevity in Eretz Yisrael, the same way trees live for a long time. So what does the Medrash say? The Ein Eitz Ela Torah. Yeshayahu HaNavi says, my people are like a tree. Tree is Torah. Shnemar Eitz Chaim Yim Lachazikim Ba. But then the Medrash asks the question. End of the first line. Torah. What was created for what? Torah for the sake of the Jewish people. The Jewish people for the sake of the Torah. Lo Torah b'shvil Yisrael. El Torah shenivreis b'shvil Yisrael. Sorry, lo Torah b'shvil Yisrael. El Torah shenivreis b'shvil Yisrael. Harvi k'yames l'olamei olamim. Yisrael shenivru b'skusam alachas kama v'kama. That the Torah was created for the sake of the Jewish people. Again, Am Yisrael precedes the Torah, and the Torah is a sort of a secondary thing in God's mind, that Am Yisrael is such this amazing people, they need a special way to live, need a special connection to Hashem, and therefore Hashem wrote the Torah and gave the Torah to the Jewish people. So clearly it's not the Torah that transformed us to become the Am HaNivchar. We were created in a certain way, like the Medrash says in the beginning of Bereishis, that Yisrael was one of the things which are Allah b'machshava, God thought to create the Jewish people before creating the world, and the Torah is a good way for us to live. If you think this is abstract and ancient, there is a member of Knesset now from Tzionut HaDatit, Tzvi Sukkot, he's from Yitzhar. He only got into the Knesset because somebody was one of the Sarim was left his post because he became a tsar. So he gave a speech like a couple of weeks ago. It was his first speech in the Knesset. It was mamash about this. He spoke quoted Rav Sadia Gaon. It says, "Inu Moseinu Uma Ela B'Torasso," the importance of Torah for Am Yisrael. But then he said, Rav Kook looked deeper in the Torah and found a deeper layer. and that is the fact that Am Yisrael existed pre the Torah. There's a concept of Bris Avos, as we're going to see in some of the letters, and the fact that Am Yisrael exists as a nation together in Eretz Yisrael is something that is almost precedes the Torah and has independent importance. Of course, we need the Torah to know how to do it, but we have to realize that just the fact that we're back in Eretz Yisrael living as a nation is itself inherently important. And that was Mamish part of his first speech in the Knesset. I can send out the link if you're interested. It's Mamish a shir in Jewish philosophy about the relationship between Am Yisrael and Torah. If you want to see this in the thought of Rav Kook, last year was Shemitah. Rav Kook has a very, very amazing introduction to Shabbat Ta'arech, which is a halacha sefer on Hilchos Shemitah. Source number 4, Rav Kook writes as follows. Teva ha-neshama ha-klalit shel Knesset Yisrael hu eloku yusa. The nature of the general soul of the Jewish people is its divinity, meaning God exists within the Jewish people. Here comes the key line for us. Ha'yitzeron Eloki shel Yisrael, this divine advantage of the Jewish people, chakuk b'mahutam, it is engraved in their essence. Lo b'chirata garmala, et yitzeron Eloki, it's not that the Jewish people chose to accept the Torah and that's what gives them a special status. Lo mitzah masea pratiyim, it's not because the Jewish people were amazing people or the Avos, the Imos were amazing people because God chose them. It's not because they are bigger tzaddikim, that's why God gave them a special status. But gizanut is Hebrew for racism. It is a race. It is something essential. It is something inherent in their very essence. Hagufani baruchani, physical and spiritual. That's what gave it its special connection to divinity. It wasn't because Am Yisrael chose a certain way that they became chosen, and therefore nothing Am Yisrael could do in terms of their choices could totally ruin their chosen status. And we're going to see Rav Kook struggling with this very mightily when he deals with individual Rishayim that he comes encounter with. And God willing, that's going to be the last 10 minutes of this year.
What about the choices of Avraham and Yitzchak?
Great. That is a great question. So, meaning, why did God speak to Avraham in the first place?
Meaning, was he part of the genetics, or the genetics both?
That is a great question. I assume Rav Kook is coming from the Kuzari and the Maral. The Kuzari says that initially Adam HaRishon had what he called the Inyan Eloki, some divine matter that was vested within Adam as a human being. And then the whole Sefer Bereishis is the process of Bechira and Dechiya. That didn't go down to all of Adam's kids, only went down to some of them. And within the chosen family, but it went down to Shem. Within Shem, a lot of Shem's children were all the Avodah Zarah, so it only was vested in Avraham. And then within Avraham's family, the whole drama of Sefer Bereishis is figuring out who has this Inyan Eloki and who doesn't. And then once Yaakov comes around, the Medrash says that all of Yaakov's children have this Inyan Eloki.
So it wasn't purely genetic.
It wasn't
purely required Avraham's choice not to be Avodah Zarah.
Yes and no. Yes and no. It's also, for example, let's say the Maral. Rav Kook used to quote this Maral, apparently. Maral says, if we believe the Medrash that Avraham Avinu had the whole backstory in Ur Kasdim, and that's why he was chosen, why does the Torah just not mention that? Why does the Torah just start off Lech Lecha? It's a very random, seems to be a very random choice, because you have all the ten generations between Noach and Avraham, and all of a sudden Hashem tells Avraham Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha. What's the basis for it? Maral says that Ibn Ezra and the Ramban already discussed this, and Maral says, the whole point is that Hashem wanted to emphasize in Chumash, you read Chumash straight, there was absolutely no reason why God chose Avraham. It's Abba She'ina Tzuli Abadavar. It's not because of Avraham's choices, because Avraham rejected Avodah Zarah and found monotheism, like the Rambam says, or those Midrashim seem to indicate. It is Abba She'ina Tzuli Abadavar. We're never going to understand why. There's some type of connection that God felt to Avraham. Is that because of genetics? In Yana Luki, is he coming from the Kuzari? I'm not really sure. But I don't know the answer to your question precisely. I don't know what the relationship between the choice and the genetics were for Avraham, but the Kuzari is saying that it's something which comes down from Adam, which was only vested in Avraham in that generation. And the Maral says that the Torah Dakwa doesn't emphasize Avraham's good choices because it wants to show that it's Ava She'ina Tzuli B'davar. It's not dependent on choice. So, good. So if you then in the next paragraph in this introduction to Shabbat Haaretz, Rav Kook just he elaborates. Yeshla amdan la bechira mevo gadol b'kos segula tivit. This notion of bechira, our choices do impact our level of segula. What does that mean? Biyotzat tova, if we choose good things, tuchal defankal adna lo tziya lepal bofen shalena kasho, we could bring out our inner segula in a better fashion. If we choose bad things, then our segula is going to be dimmed. But Rav Kook says at the end, look at the last line of the source, but this dimming cannot last forever. Eventually it's going to come out. So eventually this skula tivit, even if right now Jews are choosing badly and they want to, you know, and they're doing averos, that is just dimming the inner segula. But at some point, the inner segula is going to come out. The inner segula wants to follow the Torah because the Torah is the best lifestyle, for, which is matim for that inner segula. Great. So this is like more of an introduction. This is again, I'm not sure if I before reading Rav Kook, before starting Jewish philosophy, I ever thought about why God chose the Jewish people. In Chumash, you get a bunch of different reasons why God chose the Jewish people. It's also dafka not because the Jewish people are the best people. Hashem says that pretty explicitly. In Chumash, it's because Hashem liked the Avos and the Imahos and swore to them that He would choose, that He would make their children into a nation. So it's not us, but it's the choices of the Avos and the Imahos. But once you get to the world of Kabbalah, it is something much more essential. It's part of Briyas HaOlam. Again, this dates all the way back. The Medrash says that Yisrael Kadma LiOlam. Hashem thought the Jewish people preceded the world. If you look in some, and it predates Chazal even. If you look at some of the Second Temple literature, look at the Sefer Yovlos, the Tzvi Scrolls, things like that, which aren't part of Chazal, but they're floating around in times of Maychendi, they actually put Bechiras Am Yisrael into Sheshes Mibreshes. It's like the author of Jubilees, the author of Sefer Yovlos, again, it's not Kaddosh for us, it's Kaddosh for some Christian groups, but it was a book that was floating around different groups in Maychendi. The author of it, there sort of was Pashnish, that like, Am Yisrael only makes its first appearance, like Perek Aleph. Like, what about the whole creation of the world? So they just literally push up the Bechira of Am Yisrael into the story of Sheshes Mibreshes. What the Medrash does as a Medrash, that author just did in the text of Chumash. You know, the author of Jubilees rewrote parts of Chumash based on his own Hashkafa. But that's the idea that Rav Kook is coming from. If you look at what I want to do now for the next 20 minutes or so is focus on what does this mean for the way you relate to an individual Jew. I guess for all of us, how we think of ourselves and how you relate to another Jew around you, particularly Jews that aren't necessarily following Torah and mitzvos. So Rav Kook writes as follows. Orot Yisrael, hey Yod. This is one of the pieces that when I taught Rav Kook in YU, the first half of the semester before the midterm was always, you know, the lovey-dovey stuff that we did in the first five lessons. And then second half of the semester was Am Yisrael and Eretz Israel. So I would give them this quote, and a bunch of different quotes, and I'd give them this quote without telling them it's from Rav Kook, and like say, like which with a bunch of different quotes, they choose which quote is from Rav Kook based on what we saw in the first half of the semester. And this quote doesn't seem to fit very well with what we saw in the first five sessions. Rav Kook writes, "Hayavdel shebein neshama Yisraelit atzmiuta ma'aviya v'fnimit shifata tukhanata v'amdata." The difference between the soul of a Jewish person, its essence, its inner desires, its aspirations, its character and its standing, uvein dishmata goyim kulam, v'chol darkoteihem, the difference between the Jewish soul and the non-Jewish soul, hu yoter gadol v'yoter amok, it is greater and more deep, me'avdel shebe nefesh adam v'nefesh ha'bema. So if you had to like make a chart of this, you have the soul of a Jew, a soul of a non-Jew, a soul of an animal, and the bigger gap is between the soul of a Jew and the soul of a non-Jew. That is a greater gap than the soul of a non-Jew and the soul of an animal. Because between the latter two categories, animals and non-Jews, there is a quantitative difference. But Am Yisrael is so much on a different level. The taxonomy is, you know, the Kuzari says this. You have Domeim, Someachai, Medabi, or Yehudi. Am Yisrael is literally like a fifth species. And that's the Minachamishi. That's the way the Kuzari refers to Am Yisrael.
What happens with the
ger? That is a great question. So within this world, there are three Mahalchim how to deal with a ger. The Kuzari, Lishitaso, says a ger can't become a Navi. He says, he's the one Rishon that says this. The Kuzari says that because of this, it's a constitutive thing. It's part of your constitution. A ger could have reached a lot of milos, but it can't become a navi. It can't have that direct connection to Hashem. The Ovadia was a ger, a ben ger. Yeah, I'm forgetting what he says, but he deals with some stiros from Chazal. But the Kuzari says at the end of the book that a ger cannot become a navi. There are two other approaches. I think it's the Zohar or some other Sifri Kabbalah say that that's Pshat in the Gemara. Ger Shneskar Kekatan Shnol Adami. That you literally gain a new neshama when you go to the mikvah and come out again, because there's a different neshama between a Jew and a non-Jew, and therefore you have to have a new neshama. And that's why a ger is considered like a new entity, a new person, and halachically speaking, no longer related to his previous family. And the third pshat is that there's a medrash that says all the neshamos of gerim were at Har Sinai. They were part of Am Yisrael, but for whatever reason, they were scattered among non-Jews. And there are all sorts of rayos for this as well, that the just one cute raya, in the process of geiros, that anybody who is a candidate for geiros, anybody who finishes the process of geiros, we already consider them to be potential Jews from the start. The lashon of the Gemara is always ger shabal v'zgayer, a ger that comes to convert. So I think it's Rabbi Yosef Engel who points out, like, why do we refer to him as a ger shabal v'zgayer? He should be a nachri shabal v'zgayer. Why do we already refer to him as a ger? So Elamai, you see there's some potential for geiros, there's some expectation for geiros when the person finishes conversion. There's also the Gemara Nivamo says that Rabbi Gamliel says, why do gerim suffer a lot? Why do gerim suffer a lot? Because they delayed before being megayer. So all the chordim ask, like, what's pshat? Why should you be punished for delaying to be megayer? There's no chiyah for any non-Jew to be megayer. Elamai, you already have that neshama within you. You just have to bring it out. You just weren't born in Am Yisrael for whatever reason. But that megayerus is the big question on this. The Rambam has a much easier time explaining geirus because he just believes it's about a bris and a certain belief system and lifestyle. And so the Rambam, you know, his letter to Rav Avadia Ger, he is the most expansive in terms of admiration and shevach for our gerim, and also the ability for a ger to say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu and to connect to everything about Am Yisrael, even saying Avram is our. There's a whole shalom in the Rishonim. Could a ger say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu? Because genealogically the ger is not a descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. The Rambam says you could because you were definitely part of Am Yisrael. Avram was an Av in terms of ideology, and you are connecting to the nation that are his ideological children. Great. If you look at source number six, just a note, it's not like Rav Kook was anti-non-Jews. You do find a lot of mukubalim that say very negative things about non-Jews. Rav Kook, for all of his playing up Jews, also plays up non-Jews. Just one quote. This is from Shmona Kvatzim. This is from Rav Kook's diaries. Rav Kook writes, Ani ohev es hakol. I love everything. Ini yakol shelo lo v'sibrios. It's called amim. I cannot not love every creature in every nation. Rotzani b'chol ma'makei lev v'tzferet hakol b'tekanat hakol. I want everything to be fixed. But apatei l'Yisrael yotzer nilu hava. But my love for the Jewish people is on a higher level. This one passage, I couldn't find it. Rav Kook writes, one of these first-person passages, he's like, when I think about humanity, I just fall in love with every human being. But then I have to realize, but my love for Am Yisrael has to be greater. So I have to like play down my love for other nations in order to leave a space for them for my love of Am Yisrael, to make sure that always has like a special status. So Rav Kook wasn't like he was playing down non-Jews, but he was certainly playing up what a Jew is. Next source is a similar thing. Rav Kook went over to Israel. Test Dalet says, "B'chol echad b'cham Yisrael, migadol v'katan." Every single Jewish person, great or small, or Elokim chayim yifad kodesh bo'er ma'ir. The light of God shines within that person. Soter le'oshel Yisrael, kilo soter le'oshel Shechina. It's Gemara Sanhedrin. If you slap the cheek of a Jew, it is as if you are slapping the cheek of a Shechina. This imagination, this vision, that you see within each Jew some divine appearance, that is prophetic. That is a spark of prophecy. That you experience in order to properly give chashivos to Bnei Yisrael. So this is the way Rav Kook viewed individual Jews. Now the question becomes, that is, for everybody in this room, everybody's a big tzaddik, it's not so hard to view people in that way, let's assume. But what about the people Rav Kook was hanging out with on a fairly regular basis, people that were not from, people that rejected the Mesorah, people that rejected Torah mitzvos, people that said horrible things about tradition. What did Rav Kook think about them? So, as I'm sure everybody here is familiar, Rav Kook had a very, very, generally speaking, positive attitude, relatively, towards such people. But we're going to see in the next couple of sources that he tried to define and sometimes struggled a little bit to try to figure out precisely how to relate to some of these people. And there is some level of tension in his thoughts. But first, before we get to letters to individual people about individual people or things like that, just one general piece that's in Orot already that I think is basically foreshadows a lot of what he's going to say. Orot HaTchiya Samakimo. Kook writes as follows. Source number seven. Hagoyim timu es yadut haguliyah b'maga'am. The non-Jews contaminated the revealed Judaism when they touched it. Nagu b'shmarim ha-kadoshim m'shiktsu osam. They touched the oils and they made them disgusting. Abnei mizbeach ha-kodesh nispaglu. And they made the avanim of the mizbeach disqualified. So this is clearly drawing on Hanukkah imagery. The non-Jews came and they were matami the shemen. The Gemara says they were posel the mizbeach. Aval b'kedushasam nisharu pnimiyot hasodot shem alumim v'chasumim mimagazar. But what does that last pach shemen represent? That the inner kedusha of the secrets, which are hidden, v'chasumim mimagazar, those are sealed and are always protected from foreign touch. The more soulful inner nature of the Jew is always going to be pure. This inner nature of a Jew, which is the soul of a, the supernal soul of the Jew, whatever that means, what is part of the identity of that inner soul of a Jew, which never becomes tameh? It is the connection. It is connected to the segula of the Jewish people. Ve'ina zaza mimena. It doesn't move from there. It never leaves its status. Kol zman shakishor l'chalot ha'uma l'tzivina chai b'kirbo. How do you know that segula, which is basically, as Rav Kook sounds like it's saying, is impenetrable? How do you know that it actually is not penetrated? It actually is still kadosh v'tahor? If you're connected to the klalos ha'uma l'tzivina chai b'kirbo, if you live connected to the Jewish people, kol zman shu chafetz b'chlal b'osher, as long as you're connected enough to Am Yisrael, you care about the success of Am Yisrael. Even though you don't exactly know what that means, what does it mean for Am Yisrael to be successful? What does it mean for good things to happen to Am Yisrael? As long as you're interested in the betterment of Am Yisrael, that shows that that inner segula was not touched by the Yevanim. Even if you're making mistakes in terms of your actions and opinions, you see the inner essence is Kodesh Kadasha. So what is your cook drawing a connection between? How do you know that this segula is still there and not darkened? If you feel connected to Am Yisrael. Why is feeling connected to Am Yisrael such an important indicator that this segula, this deep level of the neshama, is still kadosh batar and it hasn't yet been fully dimmed? We'll see next week why connection to the nation is, not next week, 2 weeks from now, I guess, is such an important, is the important indicator, according to Rav Kook, more than belief in God, more than belief in Torah, more than doing mitzvos, more than anything else, connection to Am Yisrael is the indicator. But what does this do for Rav Kook practically, in terms of the environment he's living in? You had so many Jews making Aliyah that were totally disconnected from Torah mitzvos, antithetical to Torah mitzvos, but they clearly cared a lot about the Jewish people. And what is Rav Kook basically saying about them? They're tochem kodesh kadashim. They are inside, they are kodesh kadashim. Their inner identity as a Jewish person, that inner soul that is always connected to God, is there. They're making bad choices, which might at times cover up on that, but that inner soul is there, and therefore we can relate to them in a certain way, as we'll see in the next source.
So Tzimtzum Halev
happens. He's going to talk about that in the next source when he elaborates on this idea a little bit more. It happens, but you could still the segula is still present as long as you're connected to Israel. Tzimtzum Halev impacts your choices. He's going to talk about darkening the segula, but it's still there as long as you're connected to Israel. He's going to talk about in the next source how sometimes it seems to be very, very dimmed, and sometimes this segula is totally disconnected when a person loses their connection to Am Yisrael. And it is possible to totally lose your segula as an individual Jew when you lose your connection to Am Yisrael. And that's going to be Rav Kook's red line, basically. And then he's gonna back away from that red line in another letter, because I don't think he really wants to make red lines. But we'll see. And the next letter is probably one of the most famous letters from Rav Kook. I'm sure some people here have seen it in entirety or partially. Igeres Tafkuf Nunhei. This is a letter to the Ridvaz. The Ridvaz was a European gadol who moved from Europe, I'm forgetting where in Europe, to Chicago. Moved from Chicago to Eretz Israel. Wherever he was, he stirred up controversy. He learned in the traditional fashion. He did not like briskers. He got into arguments, I think, with Moshe Soloveitchik in Europe and Rav Soloveitchik in America. Eventually, he left. He left America and went to Eretz Yisrael. Once he was in Eretz Yisrael, he started writing letters to Rav Kook about all sorts of things that were going on. He is most well known because he wrote a parish on the Yerushalmi that is on the side of most contemporary versions, most contemporary printings of the Yerushalmi. So he was a Yerushalmi Chacham. So he started writing to Rav Kook about the Heter Mechira. That's the way the series of letters started. And then eventually the letters in Skalgul HaZavarim, he started asking Rav Kook about his positive relationship to Kofrim in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Kook starts off this very long letter saying that you've asked me why I have such warm relationships and I'm so close to so many people that are Kofrim, antithetical to Torah mitzvot, v'chulei v'chulei, especially because in Shulchan Aruch it says you're supposed to distance yourself from such people. It's an explicit sif in Shulchan Aruch. So how am I going against it? He's like, let me explain it to you. It's not based on Shulchan Aruch. It's based on Kabbalah. When he says, my derech, I'm not a tzaddik, but my derech is a derech of tzaddikim. And this is the derech that our generation has, our generation as bichlal has to go. He's like, let me explain to you a little bit of what Kabbalah says about Jews. It says, top of the next page. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a very long letter, but these are some of the, pick out some of the key lines. Yidah hadrat ga'ono. Sheshnei devarim ikariyim, shem yachad bonim kedushas Yisrael. There are two things that build up the kedusha of a Jewish person and the Jewish person's connection to God. The first thing is segula, treasure, essence. Klomar teva hakedusha shebenishmas Yisrael mekudeshes ha'avos. Mekudeshes ha'avos. It is just the nature of a Jewish person based on the fact that you are children of the avos. Klomar lo b'tzidkaska. Rak b'vaseka kashak Hashem la'avos. Tam yivkar b'zara makariyim. Yitzim l'segula mikol amim. Haskula hu koach kodesh pnimi. It is an inner, a holy force. Munach b'teva hanefesh b'rasan Hashem. Again, recurring word is teva. It is natural. It is there. It's not your choice. Kamo teva kol davar mi'metzios. Like teva of anything else. You know, every entity has some physical properties and some other chemical properties, whatever it is. This is the property of a Jew. She'i efshar l'shanos klal. It cannot change. Good. End of this first paragraph. V'hasheni, what is the second pillar upon which Kedushas Yisrael stands? Hu inyan bechira, choices. V'zeh toloi b'ma'aseh ha'tov v'talmud Torah. That's dependent on good actions, mitzvos, and Talmud Torah. So our relationship with Hashem is built on two foundations, segula and bechira. Next paragraph. Hachilek shal segula hu harbei b'ein aruch klal yoser gadol v'kadosh ma'chilek ha'toloi bechira. We are created, if you had a rate, which aspect gives you a closer connection or a stronger connection to God? It is certainly the segula. It is more impactful on us, on our relationship with Hashem, in terms of giving us kedusha, whatever these things mean. It is much more than what we could bring kedusha upon ourselves through our actions. Fine. And Rav Kook goes on to say that there is always going to be a waxing and waning. It's always going to be some type of a touch and go relationship between these two aspects. Sometimes things which flow from the segula, from the inner identity of a Jew, are very, very apparent, but Jews are making bad choices in terms of Torah mitzvot. And there are other generations where Jews are doing lots of Torah mitzvot, but things which should be very intuitive, things which should be very natural to a Jewish person, for some reason, aren't coming out on the outside, even though they are there on the inside. Good. Look at the next part of the underlying lines. Rav Kook writes, Amnam, lefamim mizgaber chosha koze, shemapsik es hofa'as es segula gamkein. Sometimes your choices are so bad that they, sounds like he's saying, that it totally cuts off the revelation of this inner segula. Avozei yi apshar ki im b'mi sheba l'midazo, lios chas v'shalom sone es Yisrael v'dori sh'ravahem v'fawa v'tzibiyas alev. Only a person who has cut themselves off from Am Yisrael, hates the Jewish people, and wants to actively hurt Am Yisrael, those are people that even the segula is cut off. What does it mean it's cut off? I don't know. Rav Kook admits that they don't lose their kedushas Yisrael, halachically speaking. You always remain halachically a Jew, even though that wasn't always so clear. There's a major debate in the Rishonim about that. But halachically speaking, the person always remains a Jew. But the segula is not appearing on the outside at all once a person cuts off their connection from Am Yisrael. And therefore, Rav Kook goes on to explain, we have a bracha of Lamashinim al Tisikva. There's a bracha which we say in Shemoneh Esrei every day, which is originally formulated about Jews, that Jews should perish. Lamashinim al Tisikva, the Kofrim, the Minim, they should perish. God should kill them. They should be removed from the world. So Rav Kook says, who is that bracha referring to? It is not referring to the average sinner. It's not referring to the average heretic. It's not referring to somebody who just doesn't believe in God. Again, we're not going to read it inside. Rav Kook tries to derive from the Gemara, tries to infer from the Gemara, that bracha is only referring to somebody that is actively seeking to hurt Am Yisrael as a whole. That person, their segula is so dimmed that we have to daven that they should perish. But anybody else who is not in that category, your average kofar on the street, your average person is not doing Torah mitzvos, because their segula is still not just within them, but shining outward, because they still feel connected to Am Yisrael, then we have to treat them very, very differently. And if Kook admits, he's like, Lafiha, Lafi Torah Sanigla, this is not what it sounds like in Shulchan Aruch. Again, he never says, I'm deviating from what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but he does say that this is not what it sounds like from Nigla. You're only going to get to this conclusion if you learn Rezei HaTorah, which are necessary to understand what has to happen to Am Yisrael as you get closer to Mashiach. So look at the paragraph. It starts Uvedorenu Nisrabu. It's a couple lines down. Uvedorenu. It starts with the first words in the line. Uvedorenu Nisrabu Neshamos Rabos. In our generation, there are so many Neshamos. She'af al pi shein shefilos ma'od binyan habechira. They are very lowly in terms of their choices. They make bad choices and they have bad beliefs. You could see the Jewish neshama shining out. What is he adding on over here? Not just a connection to Am Yisrael, but a connection to Eretz Yisrael. What is Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael predate the Torah? That's the way we started. Yisrael Kanma the Torah. The Torah was created for the sake of the Jewish people. But the basic identity of Am Yisrael as a nation and their connection to Eretz Yisrael, these things stem from the Avos. These are all part of Bris Avos, as Rav Kook says in this letter, which predate the Torah. And therefore, the Etzem Neshama of a Jewish person is shining forth as long as they feel connected to Am Yisrael and to Eretz Yisrael, irrespective of the fact they are rejecting the Torah. And therefore, the people like that, you have to treat nicely. You have to be makariv. You can't reject them, and you can't ostracize them. Rav Kook says that this is very important to understand in these generations. So just look at the underlined part in the last paragraph. V'aminim v'kofrim apirov ivdu es eskula apnimis. And throughout many generations, minim and kofrim, they rejected Am Yisrael. If you were a kofir in the Middle Ages, what did you do? You baptized. You became a Muslim. I'm forgetting the technical term for that. But you left the Jewish people and entered a different religion, nationality, or whatever it was. But umidas du nohekas brovedoros. That's the way it was in many generations. Avador shel ikva de mashicha him yotzim miklalza. Our generation is different. Our generation, for the first time in history, you find a mass split. You find people that are rejecting Torah, but still feel very connected to Am Yisrael. Why is that? Because the segula, which always existed, but wasn't shining forth as strongly when Am Yisrael was in Golos, because the connection of Jew to Jew was weakened, the connection of the Jew to Eretz Yisrael was weakened. The Sefer Bereishis Judaism, let's say, was weakened when Jews were in Golos. That is coming back. And therefore, we find the segula on steroids, Bizman Azeh. But once we find the segula on steroids, you might find an inverse relationship in terms of people's actual choices, in terms of Sefer Shemot Judaism, in terms of Torah mitzvos. But that doesn't mean we have to reject them. It just means we have to understand where they're coming from and teach them halakha or mitzvos within a certain context, as we discussed in earlier sessions. So this letter, I think somebody told me, I think it's on the Bagrut Machshavet Yisrael. Do you take Bagrut Machshavet Yisrael?
I did.
A long time ago. Somebody told me that it was on the curriculum. Like when they're trying to figure out like which pieces from Rav Kook should they put on the high school curriculum of things they want high schoolers in Machshavet Yisrael to know, that this parts of this letter, Segula and Bechira, a connection to Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael on the one hand, and a connection to Torah and Mitzvot on the other hand, that was something that whoever came up with the curriculum decided was essential enough and clear enough to be able to put on a high school curriculum. So this is great for Rav Kook, because again, Am Yisrael precedes the Torah. Connection to Am Yisrael, connection to Eretz Yisrael are super important, and they stand independently of Torah Mitzvot. And Rav Kook ends the letter by saying that if we embrace them for their connection to Am Yisrael, eventually the segula is going to impact their choices as well. It might take a generation, it might take two generations, it might take three generations, but eventually they are going to come back in terms of their bechiros, in terms of their choices of Torah Mitzvot. Next stage is, the next 5 minutes, what happens to Jews that are just not connected to Am Yisrael? Let's say you have somebody that apostatizes, that baptizes, that just doesn't feel connected to Am Yisrael at all. So this was less common in Rav Kook's time, but it's much more common, unfortunately, in our time, Jews that are so assimilated, they just don't feel connection to Am Yisrael's nation. So there's another letter, Rav Kook. This was a letter to a father whose son went off to Derech in terms of Torah Mitzvot, but also didn't turn into a Tzioni. Like, I don't know exactly what happened. It sounds like it turned into a communist, like a Russian communist, transcending nationality. So Rav Kook, so he wrote a letter to Rav Kook, basically like, how should I think about my son? So Rav Kook wrote as follows. He says, first Rav Kook's like, I didn't really know how to respond, so I didn't write to you for a long time, because I wasn't sure what to write. Then Rav Kook writes, it's not so nice that I'm not silent and I'm not responding to you. Don't give up hope of any Jew. Fine. I will reveal to you. If your children were connected to Am Yisrael, and they were connected to Zionism and Eretz Yisrael, it would be easier to bring them back to the Derech Hashem of Torah Mitzvot, Nishayesh Yachas Gadol Bein Akara Lu'umit B'Yisrael, L'Shavash Gadusha B'Emuna V'Kiyam Torah Mitzvot. So it would be much better if your children were Zionists, because then at least they would be connected to Am Yisrael. But your children are not, so what am I going to tell you? Mikomakum Gam Akshav Shir Chikul Lechas Ein Lisayash Mem Kal V'Kal. Even though they're not even Zionists, they're not connected to Am Yisrael, don't give up hope. Why? He says, because the Torah has impacted the Jewish people for so many generations, that even Jews that are so far removed from Torah Mitzvot and from Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael still have the segula in them. Look at the underlying part. Next line. Akshav, afilu adil sayosu ros umdosein al besisei shel bakasha sayosu v'atzadek. Your son became a kofir. Why? Because he wants Yosher v'atzadek. Sounds like he became a communist. Like he wants the world to be fair. Shebemos hu be'atzmo hu derach Hashem shetziva Avram avinu la b'shalom. Your son is following a little bit the Derech of Avraham Avinu, because it's not like your son is a Russian Marusha, he's a serial killer, and he's whatever, he's just a wanton hedonist, doesn't care about anything. You're someone off the Derech because he wants to build a perfect world. And that itself, that desire, is the desire of Avraham Avinu, and connects you back to Derech Hashem and to Bris Avos and to Avraham Avinu. Yeah, there's a lot to work on in terms of going from that beast of desire to have Yosher v'tzadek and a perfect world to connection to Am Yisrael, connection to our mitzvahs, whatever it is. But even your son, who is disconnected from Am Yisrael, there is still hope for him because he still is connected to the ideas that Avraham Avinu brought down into this world.
Specifically because he's a communist?
That's why I assume he's a communist, because I don't know who else was so interested in Yosher v'tzadek.
What does he say to the father whose son became like a sadist or something?
I wish we had letters. Yeah. Counterfactuals are amazing. I wish somebody would ask Rav Kook, what about the situation where somebody's son became a bechule.
Saying that like, even most religions are impacted by Jewish thoughts.
So I don't think in this piece he's talking about. My guess is that the person did not become a Christian. Yeah. My guess is that the person became a communist, a Buddhist, a Bundist, whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. Like just most things in the world are influenced by
Yosef. But yeah, Beyadus and the desire for Yosher v'Tzedek. Yeah, so clearly, Rav Kook is, you know, he has his categories in his mind, and he says it would be much easier for me to write to you if your son was a Zionist. But now, even though he's not, I could still stretch it. I could still stretch it a little bit more. That's my understanding of this letter. So good.
There is something about where he talks about Erev Rav and like how. Yes. Sometimes they are completely spit out. And
yes, 100%. So there, that's what the next couple of sources are about, that Rav Kook himself, even as he tries to extend it as far as possible, there is certainly a place for sinna and disgust of other people in his writings. Just three sources, or many more. A lot of these sources were gathered into articles after the disengagement, which is probably, I don't know if the best time or bad time to be writing articles like that. But the question was, you know, you have these people, you have the government, you have Jews that are you know, doing the most horrible thing possible. They are being okir Jews in Eretz Israel. So there are some people in the Rav Kook camp who are just like, we have to love them, because that's what Rav Kook told us, we have to love everybody. And the other people writing articles, like, no. Like, these are people that, on the one hand, they're not connected to Eretz Israel anymore. They are actively seeking what's bad for Am Yisrael and Eretz Israel. And also, we have these passages in Rav Kook where Rav Kook does seem to have a hard line about certain issues. Look at source number 10. Oh, I'm sorry if I'm going over time. This is a piece in Eretz HaKodesh in general. Somebody that lacks the sense, the feeling of hatred of Rishayim, not just Rishas, Rishayim, people. It's very dangerous. Because then, if you don't hate Rishayim, you might be influenced by them. Even though, if you think chesed on everybody, you're going to shine light on Rishayim also. At least for Rishayim Gedolim, you should still leave some room in your heart to hate. Where do you draw the line? I don't really know. But I think Yoni is 100% right. There is this notion of sinas rishayim, particularly people that have lost their connection to Am Yisrael. Look at source number 11. This is a letter that Rav Kook wrote about a certain moshav. He's going through the different people he met in the moshav. Sheila yimlau asamakom shel psoles. He's like, he wants more people to make aliyah and move to this moshav, because these new people will take the place of the psoles. The Misitra the Eir of Rav, Habayim the Rusia, Shagruim Boham, Iapshar Shitila Nachizabar Israel, the Chos Bechanfos Aris, Vinaru Sharam Yemeno. These people that made Aliyah from Russia, they are the, again, to this particular Moshav, not Russians in general, they are the worst of the worst. They are the Sitra of the Ayin Rishas Eir of Rav. They are the Sitra of the Eir of Rav, and they are Gruim, and they should not have any Achiza in Eretz Israel. Vinaru Sharam Yemeno, the Rishayim should be shaken up from it. Again, he doesn't elaborate what were they doing. But clearly, there is some hard line he was drawing. One other source, the Rav Kook's brother sent him a Roshana card with the brachos with pictures of Herzl and Max Nordau on it. So Rav Kook writes his brother a very nice letter. And at the very end, he writes, you shouldn't send a Roshana card with brachos with pictures of Herzl and Nordau. He said, particularly Zeha Acharon, referring to Max Nordau, who was intermarried, this person, he tu avas nafshi. Anybody that's connected to Judaism finds this person disgusting, presumably because he was intermarried. It's not Pesel, it's Pislo. You shouldn't use this picture as a form of a Rosh Hashanah bracha. Rav Tzvi Yehuda actually have very nice things to say about Max Nordau and the generation later. And there are people who try to figure out what changed from one generation to the next. But Rav Kook clearly has places in his thought where there is sinas rishayim, there's a to'eva, there's a certain disgust that's there. But I think it's safe to say the main line of his thought, which comes from the essential character of each Jew, that you're going to try as much as possible to find the good in each Jew, particularly Jews that are connected to Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, which is the Bris Avos, which is the, you know, the segula which comes genetically from the Avos, which is predates Torah and mitzvos. And as long as you're connected to Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael in some way, even maybe through the Derech of Avram Avinu, of Yosher V'Tzedek, that is enough to say that the segula is still shining, and therefore we have to relate to that person in a specific way. But there is a list of people that Rav Kook seems to have a very negative relationship towards. And Tzarech Iyun, I'm sure people have done the research, I'm not familiar with it, if there's like a system over here in terms of what precisely ticked Rav Kook off, that he wrote these things about these particular groups. Thank you so much, and I'm sorry for going a little bit over time.
Thank you. Oh,